shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege we have of gathering together where you are in our midst, and we recognize that and thank you for it, and appreciate it that you are giving us revelation, wisdom, and knowledge concerning yourself and all those various doctrines and elements within the Word, which we are to know at this time, where the prophet sowed the seed of the entire Bible, from the serpent in the garden to the prophet in the former reign, which means we know all the way to from Genesis 1 to Revelation 10, 1 to 7, wherein the seven seals were caught up in a stream of glory, carried across by those waters from the eastern gates into the millennium, far beyond our own reach of thought and understanding at this time. But we know down the road there'll be that more understanding and more grace, more compatibility, everything being poured into us from yourself. And we appreciate that very much. We're glad for that knowledge, Lord. May we hold it above all knowledge and prize it above anything in this world. Earthen vessels containing that glorious inheritance of the Word, and that Word carrying us right on through. Help us to see light as we've never seen light and truth before in this hour of face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, you'll notice last night that as we attempted to get into that paragraph number 92, which we've been looking at for some time, that we came to a real definitive that we had not previously come to, even though we had looked at it in many other messages. And we read last night just that one line to that was our to begin our thought. Now tonight, he says, in the days when we got this great discrepancy, Jesus Christ promised in Luke, he has a promise, in other words, at the time of the great harvest of the discrepancy. Now, as I told you previously, that these people who are religious, these people who are churchified, and they're not truly one with the Lord, and they're not truly born again, they'll make proselytes. And they'll circumnavigate the land and sea in order to bring in a convert or a proselyte, and that proselyte will be twice as bad as the person who went out to a missionary him or convert him, if you can use that expression. Now, you'll notice in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter that Paul mentions that they're ministers of light, the same as Satan. Now, Satan is only a minister of light insofar as he attempts to minister the Word. He can't minister to what you might call atheism, although he's a promoter of it. But when you speak of light, God alone has light. Satan does not have light. But what he's done, he's transformed himself. In other words, he made himself something that God had not made him. And that's what you find many people today in religion. They've made themselves something by their will, by their changing their habits, by an experience which is not authentic, baptism with the Holy Spirit. And they're make-believers is what they are. And we just leave them be, but they're there. And this seed of discrepancy, then, as we showed in the first age, you start out with the error, because the error was there. Right in the Ephesian church, you have left your first love. In the Corinthian church, which is the Pentecostal church, they've given way to gifts of the Holy Spirit as the tie post, as the criterion, as what they're standing by, their actual hope, instead of the vindicated Word of God. And remember, no gift is vindicated. The fact the Word alone is vindicated, and gifts come out of the Word which has been vindicated. Now, anytime anything vindicated comes, that's light. And the devil can take that and use that. He's got access to it, because all power is of God. And never forget, every breath that you take belongs to God. Every step that you take belongs to God. Every thought that you have. There is nothing that you and I have, or the devil has, beginning him, that is not of God. And it all depends on how you use it. And if it's used within the framework of the Word which the Lord has laid down, then it is perfect. If it's taken outside of the framework, as those gifts were, it gives chaos. It becomes a chaotic thing, and it's no longer true. It's a discrepancy. You see, a discrepancy does not run true to form. It will not conform. So there are those who do not conform, and there are those who do conform. There's one that conforms to the image of Christ. There's one that conforms to the image of the devil. What's the image of the devil? Taking the light of the Scripture and abusing it, turning it into darkness. So as the Scripture said, when your light that you have becomes darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, how great is the darkness of Pentecost today? They've thrown away the Word of God for gifts. And none of those gifts stand the test of going into a room with somebody outside the room that's got the discerning of spirits. They won't do it. They wouldn't do it for Brother Branham. They wouldn't do it for Paul. They wouldn't do it here. If I were to try to revert back, which God knows I will not revert back for anybody to a gift ministry, forget it. If there's any gift ministry, it'll be complementary to mine, which is teaching. It'll be under order. It'll come here and put it on the desk. Then we'll find out if it's an utterance from God or not. See? If Paul the Apostle could stand up, and Peter, and those men who knew how prophecy came, bypassing the human mind, so it's merely a matter of utterance. It's a mechanical thing. I don't know if I got what Lloyd gave me or not. I did have it, Lloyd. Well, hold on. If I had it, I still got it. Where is it? Brother Branham is speaking in the prayer line. And this is expectation in Wood River, Illinois. And there's a lady in front of him, and she has a growth and so on and so on. Now, here's what Brother Branham says concerning that. Now, what spoke to you wasn't me. It was my voice. But I wasn't operating it. That's his voice. Because I wouldn't know what to say. So when you stand there and you're out of the way, you don't know what to say, the Lord will talk through you. Now, I've had that happen. Don't doubt me, my words for 1 minute. I've had it happen. And I am not a prophet. But that's where the genuine lies. That's where the real thing lies. You hear yourself say it. Under the Pentecostal regime, it's whatever comes to your mind. And that was under the time of Irenaeus, when Marcus, a hypocrite, was going around. And he was especially leading women astray. God helped the poor women, but he's leading them astray. They are a tool of the devil, fashioned by him, as Brother Branham said. And this man would say, the woman would say, what shall I speak? And he says, speaketh whatsoever cometh to thy mind. Hey, Frank, remember B.G. Leonard said the same thing? Maybe remember they weren't there in Calgary at that time, I don't think, where he said, it was his wife, yeah, that was not in Calgary, it was back in New Westminster, and said, so what'll I say? Speak what comes to mind. And the girl said, there is nothing. She said, say it, there is nothing. Yeah. That to thus saith the Lord. Don't tell me it's any different. I haven't been around those birds for years. All right. Now he says here, but it was some other voice. He said, no, I wouldn't know what to say. No, it was some other voice. Well, you see, he's talking now in terms of the identification of a voice within a voice. Like when he said, what does it mean when they say, when Jesus said, show us the Father. He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. You understand now? Where it's the same thing as he said, he's God, but he's not God. Okay. But it was some other voice. It's my voice, but something speaking my voice. Is that right? Do you believe it was God? She said, yes. Then come here, he said. Remember, Brother Branham said twice, if you only knew who I am, you'd all be healed. This is the most pitiful thing in the world. The most pitiful thing in the world. Is not to believe God when he vindicates it is God and he works through human instrumentality. He wasn't worked through archangels and cherubims. And even if he came as a cherubim or gave a cherubim to Brother Branham, we would have to still take Brother Branham. We'd still have to have a prophet. Pity for God, have mercy. What pity. What pitiful thing to miss it. I'd have missed it. Except whatever speaks in my heart said, if you ever listen to any man, that's the man you'll listen to. If you don't think I listen to him, then you better help me to listen, because I'm supposed to listen to him. So there's a seed of discrepancy. And I said a while ago, in the first days they went into sin. Right away they began making what? A child of hell, twofold more than themselves. So the next stage is twofold more. That's four. The next stage is twofold more. That's eight. The next is 16, 32, 64. 128 times worse than the Corinthian church was. 128 times worse in this hour. Now, I'm not making this up. Not making it up. So the church, the bride, had error. And went to dark ages. The candlestick furthest from the light, from the oil. Number four, 6, 7, 8. And 5, 6, 7, rather. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the middle one, 4, 5, 6, 7. A little light comes back under Luther. Now let's watch it. If that is true, then the converse is true because of twins. So now Luther comes along. And Brother Branham said, oh, what glory that was compared to the Catholic Church. Wesley comes along. Oh, what glory that is compared to the Lutheran Church. Pentecost comes along. Oh, what glory that is compared to that church. So now you got, starting with this here, you got four, you got eight. But when it comes to our turn, this message, a glory which never fades, it's incomparable, going right on to glory. What has it done? It's picked up every single error and thrown it out. It's picked up every single truth and brought it here. And has brought a people now who conform to Christ. You think they're not going to leave in a rapture? I got news for you. They're getting out of here. Not because Lee Dale says so. No, not because I say so. Because the Bible says so. A vindicated prophet said so. So you got twins. You've got twins now, where you were in the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and it mentions, we know in part, looking through a glass darkly, we know in part, but there comes a time when it's face to face. Now, at that time, prophecy will fail. Now, the point is, all prophecy has failed. Tongues have ceased. These things have literally vanished away in the presence of him who is present. So therefore, Brother Branham says, as it were, the gifts are put on a shelf. Doesn't say they're gone. Because the same prophet said, as long as there's a true bride on earth, there'll be a true gift of tongues. These other things are there. But he also said, why do you settle for the unreal when the heavens are full of the real? And the real thing is the Word of God in complete manifestation. I'm not saying gifts are evil. I'm not saying we shouldn't have them. I'd be for them. But that's not my ministry. If you want it as a congregation, that's entirely up to you. But you better be sure you know what you're doing. And you're not popping off at the mouth now. Because too many people, in the light of a vindicated word, pop off at the mouth. What will happen if you get involved in tongues, interpretation, and these gifts, which you cannot prove, are distinctly utterances from Almighty God? The only thing you could do, you could use the prayer of faith, perhaps. But you could not, yes you could, but you couldn't use the gift of faith. Because the gift of faith, well you could, but it's way down the road. Now I've had that happen. I've had it in meetings back in the Baptist church over in Spencerville, Ohio, not too far from me, just west of Lima. And if I could find that person, those people would admit that one night in a room, as I took them all behind the pulpit, I did not minister out in the open. I took them back. I told every single person exactly what would happen, and it came exactly. In the case of the woman, she was pregnant, and the doctor said, you'll lose the baby. And she was very frightened. And I laid hands on her and I said, sister, you're not going to lose the baby. But I said, you're in for a rough, rough time. They'll almost lose you, but you will live, and the baby will fine. She came back 7 years later and told my wife exactly what was said over her. That was a gift of faith and a prophecy of faith. I've had a gift minister in the people. Five people in a row, absolute, perfect, 100% miracles. Let me tell you this, that is nothing compared to this word, which alone is the gospel of Christ, which makes me wise unto salvation. That's only a little trivial thing, which is a minor. Why would I then attempt under any consideration to major in a minor when God knows our hearts? We need to major in the major to get out of here. Oh, people say Brother Branham said wish the lion, the sun, and ripen. He didn't say lion, the sun, and stagnate and rot. That's their idea. Brother Branham never said that. They take a negative turn because they want to get you right back into Pentecostal hooliganism. I got Brother Frank Proctor here. He'll tell you things to make your eyeballs spin and your ears begin to wiggle. He knows what I know concerning gift ministries and latter rain and all these things. He told you a little bit a while, not too long ago. But he could tell you more and more, almost to fill a book. And he lays the whole thing down at the feet of vindication, because Frank Proctor's no more vindicated than I am. In fact, he and I can be stumbling stones to people. But you stumble over that. You stumble over the rock of offense, which is Christ Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's twins. There's twins. One coming to the full cup of iniquity of sin, where Satan now has his desire upon the people, where he's going to incarnate himself into the Pope, or one Pope of some description, and he's going to demand worship and to be worshiped. And already the Protestants have fallen for it, condemning, as I said last night, the poor Seventh-day Adventists because they dare to write their books and show that the Pope is the Antichrist, the beast. What's the matter with the Protestants? What's the matter with those Catholics? They know that Catholics themselves admitted centuries ago that it pointed absolutely to Rome. And this present Pope has said there's a bad Pope coming. What are they talking about? They're denying the very things they say. They're so confused. They're so mixed up. They're absolutely the tools of Satan. Discrepancy, discrepancy, discrepancy. The discrepancy came in when Satan said to Eve, listen, I'll interpret the word to you as an angel of light. And she fell into sin. She disobeyed God. And the discrepancy came in how? Because the boy Cain was born wrong. He was born of a woman and an animal. But Abel was born 100% correct by a male and a female of the human race, a man and a woman. You say that's wrong, then you're liars, because we showed you science proves that 99.99% have one father and 0.01% have another father. We all got the same mother. As the scripture said, Adam called her Eve because she's the mother of all living. And again, you got people all mixed up because the Bible says, and the Bible doesn't say it. The wrong translation says replenish the earth. And that means, therefore, we're going to do it over again. That word is not replenished. That word is fill, fill, fill. It doesn't say replenish as though there was something already there. Fill the earth. And as an Adam all die, even in Christ, they're going to come back on this earth and they are going to fill the earth. Be filled with the glory of God. Down the line after 2,000 years is over the white throne, all the foolish birds come up and they all surround the holy city and the new Jerusalem, new heavens and the new earth, and the whole thing is not, then it's replenished. Yes, it is. It's all brought back. As Brother Branham said, God will create again not by sex, but bringing the potassium and the minerals, the calcium and all of these things together, bring forth a resurrection. There you see them. You see how this message gets more and more and more definitive. And as you and I are more and more definitive, means all this junk in here we had from that condemns us is gone. And there is therefore now no condemnation. We're under the blood, and there's no condemnation now because we're under the Spirit. We're living in the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. I mentioned last night concerning David. I mentioned Brother Branham. I wouldn't care if he had 100 women like people say he was a whoremonger. He wasn't. They said he died drunk on the road. He wasn't. And I said, even though all those things had taken place, you cannot get rid of the fact he had thus said the Lord. But as I said before, I don't listen to any word in the garbage tin. And William Branham is one of the highest ordered men I've ever seen in my life, and you'll ever see, ranking with Moses and with Paul. Oh, I'll be criticized for preaching a man. That's great. Well, Jesus Christ is a man. Yeah. Yeah, don't give me that stuff. Don't give me that stuff. I'm not 82 years old and be 82. 28th of September, so I've lived 82 solid years. Yes, there's a group that conforms to the image of Christ. That's a twin. You know you and I are twins? Just muck out there? If you don't understand that, you don't know Cain and Abel. You don't know Judas and Jesus. William Branham had his Judas. He said, I know who it is. They're trying to pin it on Lee Vail now. Of course, he's got his own message. Well, that's okay. Let's see what God does down the road. Huh? I got no fear about that. The only fear I got is I haven't pleased him half enough and learned to get out of the way. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, Brother Branham said how you should love each other, you that love this message. Then how you should love God then if you love the Word, right? He's wondering, say, well, do I really love God? Do you really love this Word, and He is the Word? Do you really love this manifestation? Is this everything above everything? Is this not only your chai post, but is this which supersedes every other thing and becomes now sovereign in your life? Because the Spirit of Wisdom Revelation is absolutely what it says it is. It gives you the knowledge of God Himself, His purpose, His ways, and what He's doing now, and what you're into and going out of here. Now, if you love that, you love God. If you don't love that, you hate it. You hate God. You can say what you want, but you can't have your cake and eat it. You think you can, but you find out you can't. See? And this is no disposable commodity. This is a commodity that disposes us. There's a big difference, my brother and my sister. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the firstborn among many brethren, I would take that to mean the firstborn from amongst the dead. That He is a perfect resurrection. And now you and I will attain to it. Because, you know, birth is very peculiar. You know, these World Church of God Armstrong bunch, to them the rebirth is when you come out of the grave. I got news for them. The majority are never going to get out of the grave. Too bad. I wish they would. They'll get out, but they won't get out the way they think they will. Because they're far a million miles off the Word. But here's what you're looking at. There is then a group that's going to confirm and be in the image of God, because Christ was in the image of God, and we are in His image. As Paul said, be followers of Christ, of me as I am of Christ, going right back to God all the way through. As Brother Branham said, if you didn't have representation there, you don't have it now. If you weren't in Him then, you'll never conform. You won't be a part of that. But if you were back there, in His predestinating mind, electing, foreknowing, and remember, He wasn't just, I'll take this and I'll take that. No, He had it all aligned right on down. Bodily, His family put into Jesus. Together, that was put into Adam. One is the spiritual election. One is the natural. Coming right on down. Now, what He is, we are also. Where He is, we will be. All of these things are predestinated to us. We're conforming. Now then, what about the serpent seed? They're conforming to Satan. And what is Satan? An angel of light, a hypocrite. See, like Judas, only believed that he believed. He didn't really believe. He even kissed Jesus with an affectionate kiss. That's the Greek. Not just a kiss. And he betrayed him. Yet the Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with thee. Oh, they're all coming around smooching and kissing. Oh, yeah. Oh, they all got to praise the hallelujah, to get up and go. It's not accepted. Why? Because you cannot take the traditions of men, the teaching of men, the understanding of men, and bring it before God. It must be in the divine revelation, just the same as it was with Cain and Abel. Now, notice here, Cain gave a right offering. Thou hast offered rightly, but if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned. Because, believe me, the offering of fruit is in the Bible. If it's not, then I got to eat the Bible. Then somebody lied. Moses lied. God lied. Here's the first fruit offering in the Bible. And the first fruit offering has to do with the resurrection. And this guy said, I got it made. If you're in the resurrection, you got it made. And in this hour, if you know that you know, you got it made. Now, you better know that you know, because it's face-to-face. There's no more parts left. Prophecy done gone as far as you and I are concerned. The only prophecy left now is 144,000. tribulation, all that kind of thing. But as far as we're concerned, we are there. Now, if you don't believe we're there, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul is speaking to those who don't believe in the resurrection and those who got it all messed up. He said, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." That's verse 20. "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ in his presence." That tells you right there, you're in the definitive. You're at the end time now where Christ is absolutely present. As Brother Branham said, God has given us the gift of his Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham said, the same one that was here on earth in Jesus had a ministry to the Jews, had to come back to the Gentiles and perform it. That's Matthew 12. And greater than what was in Jerusalem, John 14 and 12, William Branham, Elijah for this hour. There it is. Only God could do that. That's your presence right there, the Holy Spirit. Then you've got an interpolation, verses 24 to 28. So it says, "Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are at his presence," when he's present, "to raise the dead," because he's got to be here to raise the dead. He does all three in coming down. "Voice, shout, trumpet. Shout is the message, the crucible of which is a military command to get the church in divine order." How does it do it? By bringing us back to the original word. No more satanic concepts. No more false light. No more ignorant worship. Now watch in verse 29. "Else what shall they do that are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all?" Why are they baptized for the dead? In other words, if Jesus is dead, why did he bother getting baptized in his name? Mormons take this and they say you get baptized for the dead, which means if I like somebody and they like me and they weren't Mormons, I can get baptized for them and they'll get to heaven. That's the same as those same idiots are sealing in all these wives. They're going to have a bunch of polygamists up there, they think. You talk about carnal stupidity. This even surpasses the devil's gunk. So when I talk about the bride, the people coming to 128 times as least, worse than in the beginning, I'm underestimating. If you can get fooled by that slop, you'll beat a dog to its vomit because you want good food. Now that's pretty rough. And that's exactly the way I want it. And I have no time for foolishness. Now he said, "Why stand in jeopardy every hour? I protest by rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." And right on down the line. And the interpolation tells you something that you ought to know, because it is an interpolation just exactly like Revelation 10:1-7. Herein lies a mystery. And the mystery is what is going on now when Jesus Christ is present. That is, we talk about Elohim in the form of the Holy Ghost. What is going on now? Now, Brother Branham categorically said that Jesus left the mercy seat. He took the book out of the hand of his Father. He ripped the seals off, gave it back to the Father. The Father came down from Revelation 5:1 to Revelation 10:1, and the Son climbed upon the Father's throne. What is going on? Now tells you, then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now he's talking about this one, the first fruit that rose. He's present, and something is going on. Now, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, I ask you a question. Who raised Jesus from the dead? He didn't raise himself. God raised him. The Father raised him. So you're talking about somebody. The last enemy to destroy is death, which means there's going to be a resurrection. Then death is hell. Itself is going to be annihilated. Unbelief will go entirely. There'll be no more unbelief. There'll be nothing. There won't even be faith anymore. You come to the place of absolute knowledge in love. See? All right. "For he hath put all things under his feet." But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted or left out, which had put all things under him. You're talking about two people here. This is an interpolation, what God is doing for the Son. He's getting everything to be under his feet. Headship has returned to the church, which is God himself, but the Son has not returned. And the Father's putting everything under the feet of the Son. He's doing it now. Now, that word subject, which we look at, and when all things are subdued unto him, that word subdued, same thing, then shall the Son be subject unto him that subdued or put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And that word is the same word, klusma, which means God has come down with a message to put the church in order. Because other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the Word. Be careful therefore how any man build thereupon. And they built with the perverted word. Now it's reversed. Headship is returned. We're back to Pentecost. God himself come down. The church is in divine order, brother, sister. We're in the definitive today. You don't have to worry about things. So, all right. We see these twins here at this particular time. Now, we have conformed to the Word until we are in the image of Christ. You say, well, just a minute, I don't feel like any image. What's that got to do with it? What's your word and your feeling got to do with what God said? See, that's where the prophet has the drop on us. He knows how to get out of the way. We have a job getting out of the way. Oh, Lord, I'm this. Oh, Lord, I'm that. I told you years ago how I missed the boat. Just a young kid preacher, 22. Well, maybe not quite 22. And I was thinking in terms of the word. Like Brother Branham was that time when he looked at his hands and said, these hands are unclean. And God said, aren't they the same hands you had in the prayer line? Then go lay hands on him. Raise him from his death door. And I was in a mode like that. And the word of God came, you know, concerning the grace of God, the cleansing of God, the righteousness of God. And I was saying to myself, but Lord, I'm unclean. And a voice within me said, call that not uncommon or clean, which God hath cleansed. And about, oh, but I was nicer than God. I was greater than his word. I was bigger than his verdict. I turned it down flat. I say, oh, that's sweet of you, Lord, but I know me. God should have said, then you better go to hell, kid, because that's where you're going. Now, you're in the same boat this morning. You know why? Because I told you of the testimony and given you Brother Branham's. They're identical. And you've got this other bunch that turned down William Branham, that turned down God, that turned down God's way, and they say, oh, we've got the Holy Ghost. We're wonderful. We're all going to make it. Hey, if we say different to vindicated word, we're bigger liars than they are. Brother Branham said, the biggest lie in all the world is 99% true. All right. Now tonight, this great discrepancy. The seed of discrepancy brought about, for number one, by a lie, changing the word. Number two, it got translated into flesh by the beast having intercourse with the woman, bringing forth Cain. And at that time, there was a separation, even though Cain got his wives and the rest they got from the children of Adam and Eve. And Adam and his children were called the children of light, and the others were called the children of darkness. And the children of light were known for their peaceful, loving ways and worship of God, and the children of darkness were known for their vicious, vulgar manner and way of living, which was the taking of the sword. Right now, you've got the Mohammedans who take the sword. You've got the Christians who take the sword. And those who take the sword shall perish by the sword. It'll be the sword of God. You don't win converts by sword. Now, I'm not talking about legitimate wars. There'll be wars, the Bible distinctly says. And Brother Branham said, if you're conscripted, understand these are what he said. If you're conscripted, what he did say, I am not a man who's a conscientious believer. But he said, if you're one, you better be a good one. And I understand from the understanding I have is that the government sends you to war, they answer for it. It's just like a man was in business with a company, and he was their quality control manager. And when the people came, he would line up everything that they wanted. When they had gone, the boss said, now, we'll cut this back, we'll cut this back, we'll cut this back, and so we'll save ourselves another 30-40% money we're going to make on this deal. And he got so feeling so bad, he quit. And Brother Branham, he asked Brother Branham to pray for a new job. He said, what's the matter with your old one? Well, he said, I quit it. Why'd you quit it? And he told him what happened. He said, go on back. He said, they'll answer to God. Do you realize that's exactly why the bride never did it at all, and it falls back on Satan? Oh, people say, why did Brother Branham say that? Yeah. Oh, hey, listen, please stop me from burping and puking all over the place. I know these Christians who are so wonderful. Honestly, I was nauseated right then. You think I'm just kidding. I became nauseated. Not to throwing up. But I became nauseated thinking of these guys who pat themselves on the back. Oh, I was such a little boy, and I prayed. And I prayed for my dog, and this happened. And I did this over here. And you can see my mammy and me and my pappy. Oh, we are it. And say, leave Baal preaching two gods when I quote the prophet. There's your seed of discrepancy. There's your angel of light. I wonder how David felt when he said, look at me. The next day he peeked at a girl, stark nude, and said, I got to have her. Well, she belongs to another man. Oh, I'm the king. It really doesn't matter. I wonder if she should have slapped his face, or was she flattered? Now she's pregnant. Going to bring forth a truly illegitimate child because she's married and he's married. Now, if one had been single, the child would not be legitimate. The parents would be. You wonder why God killed that baby? Had to. And he killed her husband. Self-righteously took her as a wife. But she got back at him, don't worry. She walked in and said, old king, you're about ready to fly the coop. You're going to die. I want Solomon on the throne. Oh, mommy put him there. Yeah, baby's in the high chair. Who put him up there? Yeah, mama did. Mama church going to put the devil on the throne. You bet. Oh, the women theologians. Oh, yeah. Well, you see, the Catholics, no way. Can the Catholic be an Antichrist? He's got the fisherman's ring. Oh, he's the vicar of Christ. Who said? Where's his proof? And turn down that? Go to vomit and turn down that? Huh? Don't think they don't know. Their own words will condemn them. Their own priest that wrote the book, when they talk about Fatima, the priest said, what is this, a sign from God? What's it for? To regale us? No. To make us sit down, shut up, and listen. I want to tell you something. Thousands of times vindicated. Who sat down and shut up and listen? Yeah, well, twins. Wrong word. Wrong birth. Born of the church. Oh, they make wonderful examples. Angels of light. Angels of light. God and Satan, son of man, son of perdition, twins right today. All right. Now tonight in the days when we got this great discrepancy, Jesus promised in Luke, that in the days before the coming of the Lord, it would be like it was in the days of Sodom, when the Son of Man would reveal himself. Now look what Brother Branham is doing. He's taking the twins all the way through. The days before Sodom, and Sodom was filthy, God appeared to Abraham and said, the Son will soon be here in flesh. Now he was already in Abraham's loins. He was already way back in Adam's loins. He was all the way back in Christ. He was all the way back in God. I'm using Christ as the Son of God now. Maybe wrong terminology, but I'm going to hold it. All right, God, begotten Son, another one, God first man, Jesus second man, Adam third man, now they come forth. The fourth one was what? Was Abel. He died, a type. The next one, Seth, down, down, down. And the scripture distinctly taking Jesus back and anyone back to Adam goes right back to God, Son of God. Now, Adam was the Son of God, truly a Son of God, and he was the Son of God because God put his life in him, breathed in the breath of lives, became a living soul. Now, he's coming right down. Everyone today that's of God, that little soul in there, that little gene, the Holy Spirit, you're a child of God, you've got the life of God in you, and you are a God race. Now, I remember Brother Branham talked about the African that was here in America as a slave, and he had a bearing that nobody else had. And the man said, I want to buy him. He said, you can't buy him. He's not for sale. He's the best man I got. Well, he said, tell me, do you feed him better? What do you do for him? I can tell by the way the man is. He's different. Ah, he said, I'll tell you, he is different. He's the son of a king, and he never forgets it. That's not a lesson for black people. That's a lesson for white people. I hope you caught that, because that's the truth. It's a big lesson there. They're forgetting who they are. Paul, listen, James says the same thing. You go in here. You get a revelation. Here's the mirror. You look, and you turn away, and you forget what God's Word said about you. What God's Word said to you. All right. Now he says here, the days of Sodom. He would reveal himself like the Son of Man revealed himself to Abram down there. Elohim, God, made flesh among the people, dwelt there with Abraham and showed him, told him what Sarah was thinking, sitting behind him in the tent that he had never seen. He called her Sarah, Abraham, not his name Abram, but Abraham, and not Sarai, but Sarah. Where is thy wife Sarah? She's in the tent behind you. I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. And she laughed and said, when he said that. And he said, why did you laugh? Why did she laugh? Now Jesus said, just before this great discrepancy is gathered and burned. Now, before it's gathered and burned, it means, therefore, the gathering would be complete before the burning. So it's at this time, the same as it was just before Sodom burned, that appearing takes place. Because he said that's when it takes place. Just before. And remember, two angels went down to Sodom, wherein God stayed back with Abraham. And Brother Branham actually typed that as God with Abraham and the bride and the two people down in Sodom were Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. I wonder if Billy Graham thinks now that the Seventh-day Adventists are being picked on because the Pope is the Antichrist, which he is. Poor Billy. Billy Graham. You know, there's a word that's different from sheep that starts with G2. I sure hope he's not Billy the Goat. Now, Jesus said, just before this great discrepancy is gathered and burned, the Son of Man will reveal himself in the same manner he did then. What is it? It's a lifting up afresh before you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, when he said it's a lifting up, you've got to understand it's a lifting up, a raising from the dead. It's Christ, as Brother Branham said. If he is living, having been raised from the dead, he is now obligated to do for the Gentiles what he did for Israel. So we're talking about resurrection. So at this particular time, you will notice the scripture we're into is over here in the book of Romans, if I can find it. Now, Romans 11, chapter beginning at 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, some of them might be saved. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? Now let's face this 100%. This is written to the Gentiles. This is written about the Jews to the Gentiles. And in there he tells you how they were cut off in order that we might be grafted in. Now when he says you see that they are being received back by God again, now he said it is life from the dead. The Jews are not dead, they are blind dead. So he's talking to us, and he says, when you see this begin to happen, putting forth its branch, that the Jews are back in their homeland, so God can deal with them, because he can only deal with them there. That's the only place he can deal with them. Brother Branham didn't care how they got back there. He said, Zionism no doubt put them back there. He said, I don't care how they got back there. That's God's business. They're back there. Now, when you see that, it's resurrection time. So, therefore, we are seeing Christ again, as it were, raised from the dead. And the raising from the dead means an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this hour, as it was in the beginning, the Alpha, where I'll put my Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters, on my men servants and on my women servants. I'm doing it, says God. Now, this is your end time. Christ is raised from the dead. And at that time, the church must be set in order, and Peter never set it in order. It was Paul who set it in order. So now you've got God descending from heaven with his commandments, with his word, to put the church in order. You've got William Branham as the voice of God, uttering for God. In the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, and also in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, you've got him in there doing those things. What is it? It's a lifting up, a fresh before you. God exalting his Son and putting the church under him in order to have a resurrection and a rapture and a great coronation. Because the next thing now, when the shout runs its course, which has got to run its course pretty soon, I'm not going to set a date because I really don't know. Not going to do it. It'll be pretty soon, though, without a doubt. Resurrection coming about. And then there'll be the rapture, the gathering together to the Lord. Now, showing that he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, to Denver, do you believe it? And they say, yeah, we believe it. And they're all screaming, what? Tell me what verse they think he's quoting. Come on. Please. Tell me what verse he is quoting, and they think it wrong. They got another idea. Hebrews what? 13:8. Everybody thinks he's quoting Hebrews 13:8, which he is, but the interpretation is not what they think it is. It is chapter 18 of Genesis. Abraham with God, the woman in the tent, and God discerning her heart and telling him the time of the flesh, that son, which was way back there in eternity and with me, is coming into flesh, because Isaac was that type. And now Isaac is coming again for a bride in a strange land. It's chapter 18. If you don't believe it, you haven't listened to what I read. Now tonight, in the day of the great discrepancy, the Son of Man is going to be revealed just before Sodom was taken by fire. And the sign was simply what? Elohim came down and he discerned the hearts. Huh? And William Branham is saying, do you believe it? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. They believe nothing. They believe their own interpretation. They believe their own revelation. They can't take thus saith the Lord. Now, come on. Let's go here somewhere. Hebrews. 4th chapter, verse 12. For the word of God is quickened. Well, he's talking about the time of unbelief when they're ready to go into the Holy Land. And Paul said, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, the word labor there means would have to bring every thought under control to Christ. Every thought under control. So you no longer think in any terms you once had, but what the prophet taught us. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes with him whom we have to do. Now that's for this hour. Now that's what Brother Branham is giving us and showing us, that this is your last sign before the resurrection. The bride, the church, does not get another sign. So what about this guy that says Brother Branham's not John 14:12? Oh my God, you talk about presumption. The guy's messed up with women. See? Now, lifting up the Son of Man, let's read again. In this chamber, what is it? It's a lifting up afresh. Now, the Son of Man lifted up is what? Crucifixion. Huh? Sure it is. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. So we're now in Hebrews 6, where the Son of God is crucified to the people, because they can't crucify him. They crucify themselves as Israel did. His blood be upon us. It certainly was and it certainly is. They're going to keep it there too. Only 144,000 make it. Let's face it, the Jews are serpent seed the same as the Gentiles are. There's nothing but serpent seed. 99.99% and maybe beyond that, maybe 0.999. Well, you could go and get your flesh examined for fun, but it won't do you any good. It's all one lump. It just shows parentage, that's all. That's all. Sure. Now, rejecting him who is the Word revealed. The face-to-face, there's only one thing you can take, and you've already taken it. You put your ear to the door, and your master, the devil, has punctured it. Why do you think when I quote William Branham, all these Jesus-only guys say Lee Vail is preaching two gods? They're not hitting me. They're not even hitting the prophet. They're hitting against God. I never said it. I only quote it. And if all William Branham could do was be a voice or a mouth for God, what am I expected to do but be a mouth for William Branham? Well, you tell me. And I'll tell you, thank you, Satan worshiper, serpent seed. Be my guest. I got you numbered right now. You don't have to get up and do a hula, kill somebody, commit adultery, set the building on fire, start a gossip going here. You don't have to. You already did it. Hey, this preaching's different, isn't it? Yeah, it's a different kind of preaching. Because it nails you down. Don't think it doesn't nail me down. Nails everybody down. Now, Brother Branham said, "Dear God, we love you. Your word is so foodful for us." Why do we love him? Yeah, how are you going to help but love him? Because he revealed himself, revealed his word. He made it real. Now, if you can love him under those conditions, loving the word, you really love God. Let's not kid ourselves. How many people have I heard in my day turn down predestination? I couldn't believe a God like that. I couldn't believe a God like that. Oh, what kind of a God could you be? Be my guest. Hey, I'm not anxious to take a big crowd with me. I'm not anxious to take anybody with me. I'm anxious to go with God's group and be with him. Like Brother Branham so humbly said, "And I count myself with you." Oh, hallelujah. Now we can shout and swing on the chandeliers. Your word is so foodful. Full of food. That's a nice word. With us, Lord. Your word with us, is full of food. With the other guys, they get mad. But they'll talk in tongues and froth at the mouth and spit in your face. That's God. Hey, don't tell me it's not the truth. That happened in Minneapolis, and I'll name the guy's name. I'll tell you who was there, what was going on. Challenged by a little old Baptist boy. He began talking in tongues and slobbering, frothing at the mouth. Mad dogs froth at the mouth. What in the name of common sense is with people? Well, I guess that's it. We just love it. We live by it, Lord. It seems that our capacity is never sufficient. Oh, isn't that so sweet? We just love to sit at your table around your word and enjoy the blessings, Lord, when we come together like this, brothers and sisters, who's been blood-bought by the Son of God, who is the purchase of your blood. And we come here tonight, Lord, we've dedicated these nights for praying for the sick, and according to Scripture, you said, by the stripes we were healed. It isn't necessary to pray then, only confess our sins. Look at that one. Hey, isn't that a good one? For by your stripes, past tense, we're healed. Oh, what a day of salvation. What a promise by Emmanuel. That is certainly the truth. You said a little while and the world won't see me no more, yet you'll see me, for I, personal pronoun of I, will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Notice the emphasis. People like to think, hey, he's with us all through the ages, but they don't want to countenance the end of the world. There's something a little different. How did it start? It started with impersonal. At that's Alpha. How's it going to end? It's got to be personal, or you break the law of the Bible, Alpha and Omega. You break the law that says what a man sows, he reaps. Christ sowed himself. He must reap himself. Yeah. You think the Spirit that's in our midst will soon be incarnate to us. At the great wedding supper to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then you'll kiss his feet. And no doubt we'll wash his feet with the tears of our eyes. The great rejoicing. What a great time is ahead. I'll be with you even to you at the end of the world. And at the end of the time, this great consummation. You said just before it happens, it'll be just like before the fire fell in Sodom and burnt up the Gentile world. Alpha is Omega. Alpha is Omega. Omega is Alpha. Don't sell it short. See? That there would come a revelation again, the Son of Man, just like at Sodom. Father, may the people not miss it, but they did. Why did they miss it? Satan has blinded their eyes to the gospel. We have a repeat now of 2 Corinthians. We're in that third chapter which I have taken you to so many, 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 many times. I know it just literally by heart in the sense that I can go to it. And it says here, concerning Moses, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. The reading of the Old Testament by the Trinitarian, the reading of the New Testament. There's one mediator between God and man, the God Christ Jesus. The Trinitarians and the oneness read it the same way. No difference. Because they make Jesus the Son, God, the Father. Brother Branham said he's not his own father. Now you got heathenism. You got what Hyslop tells about a missionary went to China and there was a slant-eyed virgin with a baby on her knee, and it says the child is the husband of the mother. So therefore his own father. That's Babylonian worship, Samurai. All right. Which veil is done away in Christ? But even, now just a minute, those veils got to go in Christ, the end time. But even to this day when Moses read, the veil's upon the heart. Nevertheless, when it should be turned to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. What turns to the Lord? The heart. Yep, that's where the soul is. Now the Spirit, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. What liberty? Loose from that junk. If the Spirit of God is here, we're going to be loosed from all our wrong thinking, all our wrong ideas, all our wrong word, all our wrong worship. Right? Well, certainly it's right. What do you think? You're going to make the Word of God a lie? Well, Brother Bill, I don't feel, so God's a liar. Great. What else don't you feel? You don't feel your feet, so you've got no feet. Can't feel your eyeballs. Got no eyeballs. I sure don't feel my liver. Got no liver. The question now is, how stupid can we get? There's no limit. And it's a curve. 4, 8, 60, 32, 64, 128, 256. Right down, 5, 12, 10, 24, 20, 48, 40, 96. No time to get to 10,000. That's how stupid. Hey, let me prove it to you. Prophet said, take away a word, another, 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 another. Add. See, I'm not, you think I'm up here fooling you, quoting figures and things, scientific, mathematics? I am not fooling you one little bit. I'm telling you God's word, and I can back it by God's word. If I was up here lying, that's a different story. And what good it be to lie? I'm branding myself. Now, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, Christ the glory of God, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, conforming. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, Paul said this is a ministry that gets you from where you are to where God wants you to be, which is in that image. It's a ministry, does it? Well, Brother Dale, I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues. I've been praying my mother's knee. I raised my kids right. I don't need any prophet. I just need Jesus. And hallelujah, He's transforming. Hey, you're talking about the wrong father. There's two of them, you know, in heaven. One's the devil. Well, I got news for you. I'm telling you the truth. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's always there near the throne. Always rapping on God's door. Look at this guy down here. Look at this white fellow over here. You call that a child of God? Ha! The accuser of the brethren. He doesn't say, look at my rat-infested nest. There are those homosexuals down there and all that junk. He comes up and he said, I got news for you. My homosexual is better than yours. It's heterosexuals. You think he doesn't? Oh, come on. Read the book of Job. Get some smarts. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry to remove veils, to get the light in, to get the understanding, to get the glory of God. As we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, Paul had a terrible job trying to get the truth across. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation, that's vindication of the truth, commending ourselves, proving to every man's conscience in the sight of God, I've got the truth and I'm telling you what's right and you better believe it. That's what Paul said. Boy, did they criticize Brother Branham for his vindication. You know, I enjoy myself because I don't have any vindication. You know, they said, one guy said one time, he said, anybody can toot his own horn. And usually you will find that it's the band that follows the big shot in the car. Well, I'm tooting my horn for the big shot in the car, which is God and His prophet, William Branham. And I'm not ashamed of it. I've got a horn to toot, and I'm going to toot. And it's not going to make an uncertain sound, as far as I know and as far as I want and know my heart. It's going to be the certain sound. This is the prophet of God. That is the voice of God. Those are the words of God. That is, thus saith the Lord, and that is the truth, and beside it there isn't any other. You can do what you want. So old baby slipped his lid. Praise God, I have slipped my lid and got on his. But if our gospel, notice, our gospel be hid, and Paul said it already was hid. second chapter, 11th chapter, 2 Corinthians. Hidden by the devil who made himself an angelite, who in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, they wouldn't take us, so they got blind. They put the little ear to the door, punctured by the devil. You'll never hear the word of God again. When the Jesus only bunch said, we are right and will not change, when Brother Branham said they were wrong, I've got men that I know that understand the Jesus name doctrine. They said Brother Branham was never Jesus' name. No way could he be, because the Jesus name people, which I was one of them, would never, ever, ever, ever say what that man saying. And if you don't believe it, we'll get Dave Pollard up here. You bet you're lying. He'll tell you. Ask Frank. He was Jesus' name. He never was, because he was like me. He couldn't see it. We sort of bluffed it, Frank. Let's be honest. A couple of kind of hypocrites, weren't we? You got him laughing and grinning, but you're not going to sit there and blink his eyes though he doesn't know what I'm saying, or quit prying on. I know Frankie anyway. We've been through this. Hey, God have mercy on us. It's good for us, though, son. Good for us. Very good for us. Hey, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. And remember, that's what it takes to get us to conform to His image. It's Him, He doing it through His Word. Because it's the Word that's a conduit of the Holy Ghost. You see how definitive this message is, brother, sister. Brother Branham said, notice every tape gets clearer. Every sermon gets clearer. That's why I brought out the other night when I showed you that the word acknowledge, that means to superimpose upon your belief this authority, so there isn't any other authority. It becomes sovereign in your life. It's your tie post. It's your foundation. This is what you're building on. And if this isn't it, forget it. Well, I'm not forgetting it. Because live, die, sink, or swim. And I'm going to tell you, if you're dying, you'll remember. If you're living, remember. And if you're sinking, you'll remember it. If you're swimming, you'll remember. It doesn't matter. Why? Because it's a part of you. It's your thought processes. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, let's take a look at this thing. Where was Jesus? Where was His Word for the seven church ages, which we're concluding? He was out there. Then they finally put Him out. Now, He got nowhere. He knocks on the door, and a man listens. And the man begins to bring the Word. And a new bride is born on the true foundation, the Omega foundation of the Alpha. Now, notice Brother Branham here deals with the positive because he's already dealt with the negative. That is the Son of Man ministry. And I pray God, as a crude little thing, if I say wrong, forgive me, pulling into gear. I love them, Lord. I pray that they won't miss it. Let this be one of the great nights, Lord. May every sick, afflicted, blind, whatever is in here, Lord, be healed tonight. May every sinner be saved right in their hearts now, if you're an unbeliever. And may they accept Christ at this moment. Grant it, Father. It's all in your hands. We commit ourselves to you to see you come. To see you come. Father, come. Not Son, come. Though He talks about the Son. Remember, God was in Christ. But this is different now. God Himself is here. And He's in the church, which is Christ's body. And as Brother Branham said, if the hand does it, the body's done it. So Brother Branham does it, therefore the church has done it. And there are people looking right today for great things to come. And He said, you've seen your last sign. You people looking for great things, you're wrong. The great thing has happened. Which was discerning. Now, it's all in your hands. We commit ourselves to you to see you come amongst us. Now, let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. How long we got? Oh, well, we'll get out of here quite a way. Ephesians chapter 4, if I can find it, and I'm sure I can. Now it says here in verse 7, But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Paul had a great measure. William Branham had a great measure. You and I have the same measure according to what we need. Won't be like theirs, but it's the same thing. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now let's watch it. He gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first the lower parts of the earth. He that descended the same that also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, we're going to go to Psalm 68, where Paul takes this. Psalm 68 and 18. And we've gone through this before, but we go through it again. Now, it says in verse 17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. It doesn't say it's in Sinai, it's as in Sinai. Now watch in 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. That's a five-fold ministry for the church, which Brother Branham said is necessary to perfect the bride. So how come there's no five-fold ministry? According to this Canadian, French-Canadian, who was up there in New England, who got Lavin, who's dead now, and different people believing, there's no five-fold ministry. Why did he want it? So he could be a big mouth himself. Get rid of the true five-fold ministry, and you can talk all you want. That's a certain church in Ohio I know about. That's what they were doing. Dale, you're here. I think you know what I'm talking about. They sat around and shared. Hogwash. Another perversion of chaos. Where'd your church go? Throw away leadership, you're gone. Hey, if you think I wanted to be a teacher, nobody but I myself know the truth. My mother gave me a nice watch for my 21st birthday. Bolivar. I still got it. That's 61 years old. Now, I wore the watch and I wrote a little note to God and I put in that box that the watch was in. And I said, Dear Lord, I'll be happy to be an elder in your church or a deacon and I will serve you. All I want is a job, but I don't want to go preaching. Just leave me alone. He listened. Yeah, he listened. Yeah. Okay. Thou hast ascended on high, led captivity captive. Thou received gifts from men, and then he gave them, which are men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. And you go back to Numbers where that is, and that points out Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who had gifts. And they led the people to hell with their gifts because the earth opened up and swallowed them and fire consumed them. You know what happened? They turned down the leadership of Moses and the true elders of God and superimposed themselves with gifts and said, Bless God, we can prophesy. And they said, Moses, who do you think you are? We can prophesy. Hey, we got gifts. Come on, Pentecostal doctrine. We got gifts. And Moses said, Don't envy. They said to Moses, Hey, look at these guys at what they're doing. And he said, Don't envy for me. Would God, they were all prophets. Now that's humility. You could tar and feather Moses, you could make him bleed, but the day they rose up, and they said, We take over from Moses, the anointed of God with the word given under vindication. He said, Lord, if I am not in the position you put me, let those men die a common death. But he said, if I am in the position you gave me, let them die an unnatural death. And fire came and consumed them. And so will the Pentecostals, the Baptists, and all organization be consumed because Brother Branham is in the same stature of Moses and Paul. I read it to you. If you remember last night in the book of Acts, that the last 2 days with the twins under anointing comes to the place where the same scene appears. The gifts are there, but the fire comes and destroys them. Well, do you want to fool with gifts? Or do you want to wait in the Word until God does something about the gifts? Now, please don't turn them down and say, oh, there's no such thing. They're on the shelf, as it were. If God wants them off the shelf, He'll help us. But let me tell you this, in Brother Branham's own church, he himself could not establish a gift ministry amongst the people. He wanted me to do it in Chicago, and I'm not lying to you. They wanted their own little Pentecostal rigmarole, and they got it. Now, it's not just Pentecostals. It's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Roman, and Greek, you name it. It's everywhere, because it's all Nicolaitan, and it's all the anointing at the end time. Laodicean, I should say, not Nicolaitan. Now, to see you come amongst us, we want you. What is he saying? He said, I've been preaching this, Lord, and I'm praying that you said this would happen, this Son of Man ministry, before the Gentile world would burn, which is typified in Sodom, where you came and discerned Sarah's heart. Because you were there present. He said, we commit ourselves to you now, Lord, according to Hebrews 13 and 8, which is Genesis chapter 18. We want to see you come amongst us. And he had to come because the scripture said he would be among them, proven by gifts of the Spirit amongst the anointed, false anointed people of the hour and the truly anointed ones. Now let's get this flat and get it understood. Who was it that had the gifts in contradistinction to those that had the Word? Huh? I got you over a barrel. You're right now, you're kind of thinking, well, Brother Vail, the gifts absolutely show that people ain't got it, only under certain conditions. But I'm putting all my eggs in one basket where the bread is, because I like toast and eggs. Huh? You do what you want. You do what you want. Gifts are supernatural. They're not something you fool with as though you can do it. As Brother Branham said, you may prophesy once and never again. How many women pastors are there in Pentecostal churches until now? Even the poor Catholics have raised up women theologians, and pretty soon they'll have priests. And even now they got rabbis in Israel. Women. I'm not fussing at women as though, hey, your dogs are, you know, or there's something wrong with you. Hey, that's not it. Do you women like men to have skirts and act like men? Well, I don't mean to do that, but you know what I mean. They're tender and delicate and have soprano voices. Huh? You women, you want your husbands to be neutered? Use that maybe a good word, kind of? No, men are to be men and women, women, and God gave them certain positions. And in Christ, there's not one bit of difference, but in the church, there is. Oh, my, you just got to see these things. And, of course, you haven't been around the way I've been around. I praise God that you haven't been there. Hope you never do. And you said in John 14:12, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he, singular, do also. And Brother Branham linked that to what? Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door knocking. If any man, not men, any man. And William Branham said, I'm so glad. I agree with, was it Newton or somebody else who said, whosoever will may come? He said, I'm so glad they never said William Branham, because there might be 100 William Branhams, and I wouldn't know if that was for me or not. But when he said, whosoever, that's William Branham, that's me, I'm coming. And that's what it was. It was whosoever will. If any man open the door, I'll come in to sup with him and he with me. I'll reveal myself to him. We how we know that you made yourself known to the people For you were that prophet that Moses said would raise up. They hadn't had prophets for hundreds of years, discrepancy on every hand, but yet the word of God had to be fulfilled, so the word became flesh, and so did the discrepancy. Jesus and Judas, there's your twins. And Father, we see it again today, the discrepancy coming in one great big bundle. And so therefore, if the discrepancy comes in one big bundle, the conformity comes in one sweet little bundle. I and my Father are one. Now, if the bride says that, what's the devil's group? They and their Father are one. Headship. Brother Branham said, headship is returned. Right? Did he say? Oh, come on, you know, he said. Headship is here, he said. Why, that? What is headship? Let's go ahead. The head of the woman is man. The head of man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. Whose head? God. Who's here? God. Who's God? Elohim, Jehovah Elohim. Huh? Well, come on, is that right or is it not right? See? I'm going to be like Bishop Johnson, the black preacher. Did he say it? Did he say it? Why, he nailed every white preacher and every black preacher under high heaven who was a Trinitarian. He pinned their ears back and hung them on the wall. He just said, did he say it? Stuttered and mumbled. Hey, he was a character. That fella had it on the ball. And Father, we see again today the discrepancy becoming one great big bundle. And the bride, a little sweet little bundle. He saw her at the end time, becoming a sweet and God in line. And we see the Word coming the same way. The Word's all coming together. Who's the Word? The bride. She's a manifestation of the true Word. And Satan's crowd's a manifestation of perverted Word. And they're known by the Word. By your words you're justified, or by your words you're condemned. So the only people who can be truly justified by Word are those that have the Word of God. Huh? Come on, come on, come on. Who's righteous? Who's unrighteous? Down the line. See, there it is. Bless us tonight, Father. We commit ourselves to you. And with your word, whatever you have need for us to do, do with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to cut this all out and turn the page down here. And then, by the grace of God, I'll come back with you sometime again, and we'll just go from here on. But you can see the seed of discrepancy, brother, sister, twins. Twins multiply, and everything about them from their source is multiplied until they're now are truly identified with the true source. And so we see the Father and His children, we see the devil and his children. And you know by their fruit, and the fruit is what? To whom you listen, which is that word of God. You are the children of the prophet. The only ones, nobody else's. Well, I trust we learned a little bit this morning. I got away from my notes and things, but I didn't have it in the first place, really. What I did have, I didn't look at. So let's rise and be dismissed. That's the main thing for you to understand. These things here, they're in the Word so clear that we have no misconceptions. We are not hypocrites. We're simply transparent with this Word. And have faith that this word has the life of God in it and will take it to him, because he said, no word of God will return unto me void. In other words, it will accomplish for unto it was sent, and it was sent to us today to get us in line, to get us ready for a resurrection and a rapture, and get us out of here for pleasure. Brother, sister, that's thus saith the Lord from his Bible here. Brother Branham said, thus saith the word, and that's what that word says. So we got confidence this morning, not in ourselves, but in the living God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this service today, looking forward to others by your grace, if so be we can come together, even by Wednesday, Lord, we don't know, because it's all in your hands. We trust, Father, that none of us shall lose any truth that was uttered today, and if there's anything that was misleading, I pray, Lord, that be erased from our hearts and minds, and I know it will, because your own prophet said the word will correct the error, and you are that living word, and it is your word that came forth, and you by your word and the power of your life correcting us, we will indeed be corrected and stand forth as jewels in that day without spot, without blemish. Hallelujah. And we know that is the truth, and we're grateful for it, Lord. And so now, Father God, we pray, if there be any sick amongst us, this message shall heal them, because the prophet just read to us, by your stripes we were healed. We just have to confess if we have any sin, whatever, and know, Lord, that you heal us, and we go on the road rejoicing. So, our Father, we commend ourselves to you in love, and we commend ourselves to our brothers and sisters here this morning in love, loving each other because we all love this word. May every barrier, every boundary, every hindrance be cast aside, that the true light and love of God and that life may permeate each one and be radiantly manifested, that the people, even though they do not agree, will say how those people love each other, how they walk in the light. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with